It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, we are, and happy Wednesday to you. Welcome in to Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Chris Hello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Matt Scraby all together in our Odyssey Palace studios today. We are a couple of days away from the start of the World Series. The start of the NBA season is now behind us. Nice start for the Lake Show last night.
Yes, indeed.
We will get into all of that, of course. Bronny made his debut, and we'll talk about what that all meant. But I think it's kind of with a heavy heart we welcome you into the program today. I understand we're not in Los Angeles, but I also understand that we are still a bit of a border town. We are very close to Tijuana. We are very close to the country of Mexico. And there, I have to imagine that there is a bit of a national state of mourning today.
For sure.
With the passing of Fernando Valenzuela. This guy was not only a hero to Dodger fans, and we'll discuss some of that, but you know, he came at the end of his career, Tony, here to the Padres, and he pitched pretty well, actually. Won 23 ball games for the Padres over a couple of seasons here at the very end, and I think we kind of adopted Fernando a little bit at the end of his career. But the Latino community, people from the country of Mexico, this was their Babe Ruth. I mean, this was their Babe Ruth, Fernando Valenzuela. He was that big. If you're not from, you know, old enough to be, you know, have remembered what it was like, that's what it was like. And I think his passing today hits a lot of people very hard. It hits me pretty hard, Tony.
Yeah.
Just, you know, having been around to watch Fernando, the effect and to see the effect he had on people, it's sad to talk about his passing today.
It really is. And as a young kid, a young 14-year-old, when he came, 13-year-old, when he came over to the Padres, got a chance to be around him a little bit, his family. And even as a broadcaster, as he moved into the booth, got a chance to see him a little bit more frequently. And yeah, this is a tough one. I mean, regardless of the uniform, I mean, certainly he had a Padre uniform on for 2 years. So
he
helped the Padres get back to the postseason for the first time since 84 at the time. And he was on that 96 team.
Yes, he was. That's right. Won 13 games that year.
13 games at a 3.62, pitched 171 innings. So he was a big part of that. And so it's certainly sad to have this discussion today. You know, over the course of this season, you know, you'd see Fernando, and, you know, he certainly looked to be dealing with something. You didn't know what it was. No one seemed to really know what it was. And then when he took the leave of absence or took some time
to focus on his health a few weeks ago,
You kind of start hearing word that he wasn't doing well. And so,
yeah, I had heard about the leave of absence, and that is all I had heard. Yeah. And so when I saw the note that he had passed last night, it hit me rather hard. I grew up in L.A. You guys know that I was never a Dodger fan, and still am not.
I question that.
I know you do. But, you know, and I know you want to try to make this a fun segment, but it's kind of tough.
It's my job, Chris.
Yes, I know it is, but it's tough today because, you know, I had just come to San Diego and gone to San Diego State, and when he started the 1981 season, he was 20 years old. And the night before the first game, the Dodgers opening day starter was a guy named Jerry Royce, a left-hander, and he got sick and could not start. Tommy Lasorda had nobody really to turn to, sent Fernando out, and Fernando pitched a five-hit shutout, and then proceeded to start 8-0 with eight consecutive complete games, and he allowed a total of four runs. So he was 8-0 with a 0.50 in the middle of May.
Just real quick, from 81, which was his first full season, he threw 192 innings.
Mm-hmm.
After that, this is all up through 87.
Okay.
285.
Yeah.
257. That's right. 261. 272. 269.
Yeah.
251.
Yeah. He was an all-star every one of those seasons, too. Six times an all-star. And his greatest performance, I think, the one that stands out to me was his start in the 1981 World Series. And it has kind of, in a lot of ways, come full circle, because that 1981 World Series was between the Dodgers and the Yankees. And you have to go back to that time. The Yankees had beaten the Dodgers in World Series two in a row, 1977 and 78. Dodgers never could beat the Yankees in the World Series, and they fell behind in 81, two games to none. And they came home for Game 3 on a Friday night, and Fernando was on the mound, and he got touched up a little bit early in the game. I think they hit a couple of home runs off him. He was down 4-3, but he shut the door after that. The Dodgers came back, won 5-4. Fernando, complete game. I looked it up today, Tony. 147 pitches, which is a mind-boggling amount these days. But he carried them to that win, and they turned the series around, and the Dodgers did win that World Series. But it's bigger than baseball. It really is. And Dylan Hernandez will be on from the LA Times to discuss, Fernando's impact. We'll discuss some things about it. He's not in the Hall of Fame. Fernando Valenzuela. But if there was a, Hall of Fame for impact, he would be a charter member.
Yeah.
There's very few players like Roberto Clemente, his impact on Latin America, Jackie Robinson's impact on, the black athlete, Fernando's impact in Mexico. And in that world, I mean,
for sure.
I don't know if it's that big, but it's right up there. It's right up there.
Yeah.
So it's a very sad day. Indeed. We'll talk more about Fernando as we go along here today. I don't know if, we have a lot of people, I think, who listen to the show south of the border. If you want to share a couple of stories or things that Fernando meant to you, I have no problem taking a few phone calls on it today, 833-288-0973. Or maybe, there were some Padre fans that were even impacted by Fernando near the end of his career. Your dad played in the Fernando era.
He did.
Did he ever say a bunch of stuff? Anything? I mean, he hit 321 against them, which is not an upset because your dad hit 321 against everybody.
Yeah, no, I remember him being excited when the Padres acquired him in 96 or 95.
Right.
Just based off of his experience facing him before. So,
yeah.
I think that's about as much as I ever really heard him talk about Fernando outside of seeing them talk while they were teammates, but
yeah, Fernando had this incredible screwball.
He was
a left-handed pitcher, right?
Yeah.
He's a left-handed pitcher, and the ball would start down the middle of the plate to a right-handed batter, and then it would disappear basically into the left-handed batter's box while guys flailed away at it. And this was before analytics, so everybody just thought, you know what, we got to do against the lefty Fernando, we got to stack it with right-handed hitters. And he would love that because he would just keep throwing that screwball all day, all night long. And guys couldn't hit it. And I think finally a few people figured out maybe we should put a lefty or two in there against him, because then the screwball was curving into the hitter. But, he still had great success.
Yeah, that was kind of the mantra for a long time. And then they started realizing, man, a left-handed pitcher gets to settle in on one side of the plate if he wants to all day. Maybe we should make him have to change it up a little bit. But, Fernando was a really good pitcher, man, and good dude, good man as well.
Well, that's how he kick things off today. As I said, Dylan Hernandez will join us to talk a little bit about Fernando today. We have an interesting segment coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. It's called Gwynn and Chris FAQ.
Oh, yeah. Is that the dice one?
This is the one where I get a dice here and I roll it, and then that picks a category. And then it's either you or me or Scraby.
Or the group.
Or the group has to answer an uncomfortable question.
I went through...
Did you come up with some good uncomfortable questions for us today?
I think I stayed up until 11, honestly, looking up great questions.
This is where Scraby looks to thrive at.
Yes, he wants to embarrass us. But you know what's funny? Troll the die over here.
Yeah,
and,
you do.
And I you know, could so, be very...
Could be shaving this guy, too, if we
wanted
to.
I could be
to.
Very...
shaving him.
I could not be honest over
You're going to have a heavy hand over there?
I could just pick your category every single time.
I don't get embarrassed very often.
No, nothing embarrasses you. I almost got embarrassed at the end of the show. Though yesterday, and I told Tony about this.
Do I know about this?
You were here, I don't know if you caught it.
Did you eat something off the ground again?
No, nothing like that.
No. Oh, that was just last week.
That was last week. No, yesterday, as we were going off the air, I said.
This is as it pertains to his anniversary.
Right. My anniversary was yesterday. Everybody right. remember we talked about that a little bit.
Of course.
And we're going out to dinner last night. And just as a way of speaking, as we were going off the air, I said, well, you know, the show's over, et cetera. I'm going to go have a nice anniversary dinner with my wife, and then we'll see what happens after that.
He did.
Tony kind of, I told Tony that on the way down in the elevator, and he goes, that could be construed in a few different ways.
What is that? I mean, I get where
you guys
What
do you mean, we'll
thinking.
See what happens after that? What I don't
it
know.
It was just funny coming from Chris. That's not something that he would normally say in that particular spot.
I would imagine if anybody heard that and really was locked in on that, they would have said, well, Chris, that's kind of...
I wish I would have heard
that's
this.
A bit risque
for you
to be telling me.
I mean, what do you...
We're going to see what's going to happen after that.
You could have been going to get ice cream.
Yes, we could have gone home. We could have gone home and played yachts. Right. Or something.
Do you guys play Yahtzee often?
No, we don't.
You know what's funny is that was like one of my dad's favorite games.
Yahtzee? He loved Yahtzee, huh?
Loved Yahtzee.
Yahtzee, man.
He would literally be in his room by himself playing Yahtzee.
Yahtzee can play, man. Yahtzee's a good game. But anyway, no, I thought that was a bit of an embarrassment yesterday.
This is
but luckily,
a question
I think most people missed it.
From the chat about this, Nate says, did the wife hear it?
She didn't hear that sentence.
Okay.
But she did hear, she was lucky. Fortunately for me, she was listening at the beginning of the show yesterday when I wished us a happy anniversary. So I scored good points on that one.
Good.
So I'm good to go for the time being.
What did you guys do after?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I knew you were gonna
ask me that. And I was like, I'm not going there.
Well, you posed the question at the end of last show, so we had to answer said question.
There's your answer.
Oh, wow.
All right. The Lakers got off to a good start. I think it's kind of lost, in the Bronny James shuffle, but it's a nice win for the Lakers to kick off the season last night. Bronny did make his debut. The Celtics, they opened defense of their title in style.
Did you see Josh Hart's comments after?
No, I didn't
see. He said, I think every one of them needs to be drug tested because I've never seen anything like that in my life.
It was unbelievable. If you didn't see it, we'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. Remember, Dylan Hernandez will join us. So if maybe you're not 100% clear on the impact of Fernando Valenzuela, I think he'll shed some light on all of it. We'll do all of it here in the first hour of the show. Gwynn and Chris underway for a Wednesday on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Scraby's going to make me pop up.
He's sitting here telling us what to do between the break there.
Well, I'm just trying to help out the show.
No, you're not trying to help out the show. You're trying to, like...
I like it when
be
the
a control freak.
The guys were like, we never do that.
That's not
we
what we said.
We never do that. So, look Scraby, what happened last segment.
So how about this, ladies and gentlemen? We finally get out on time. Chris gets us out at 2:13.
I commend you for that.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
You came right and said,
we got to start getting out on time.
But what did I start with? I said we did a really good job this first segment.
You know what? Let's go to the
you
tape.
You said that after.
We don't have a tape.
Roll tape. Roll tape. You opened with, you guys have got to start getting out on time. No, then I said, I just got out at 13, and you're going, you did a good job
that
time.
Right.
You really, that's what you said.
That's exactly how it went.
Chris is infuriating because he's the most selective hearer I've ever met in my life.
I'm hearing it too.
My wife thinks this is true.
And well, if two people are saying it,
my wife thinks that I'm a selective hearer as well. But you know what I truly am, and I try to explain to her? I just don't hear that well anymore.
Right.
I'm old, and I turn my headset, my phone's up way high, and my ears are probably going. And my wife has the innate ability, raise your hand out there if this happens to you, she has the innate ability to turn away from me, start walking out
away.
Of the room, or walking up the stairs, and then says, can you take the trash out? And I'm I can't hear you.
In that same tone, like she's
right
next to you.
I can't hear you, and then she'll come back down. Did you take the trash out? And I go, I didn't hear you say that. Oh, it's selective hearing. No, it isn't. I can't hear you. You're not facing me.
I got my hand raised.
Raised.
For sure. My wife loves to talk to me going up the stairs.
Going out of the room.
Two different walls.
Well, maybe you guys, because this happens with my dad. Like, I will leave a room, but I will be finishing a thought, and I will talk louder knowing that he can't hear. And I'm like, he goes, I didn't hear you. Why do you always walk away when I...
That's right.
Like, it makes sense.
Dad,
you usually finish your thought before walking out of the room.
My wife, we have the upstairs, downstairs. Scrape, our little, it's not a big house, but it's upstairs, downstairs. And if a thought comes to her mind while she's downstairs and I'm upstairs, she just yells it up the stairs, whether I'm there or not. I mean, I'm like, when I have a thought... You know what I do? I get off the couch.
100%.
I get up. I walk up the stairs and I go, hey, I have a question for
100%.
You. But when she wants to ask me something, she stays on the couch and just yells it. What do you think we should do tomorrow night about dinner?
Why does that bother you?
It doesn't bother me, but I can't hear her.
Here's why it bothers me.
And then she gets mad that I didn't hear her.
Because if I yell down the steps... My wife would be like, I don't know why you're yelling from up there. Why don't you come down and just tell me?
There's two separate sets of rules.
There's extra. Well, Tony's palatial state, you need like a golf cart.
Well, Tony, I can understand. He probably needs a bit of a,
he has a syrup tree.
A communication system.
That you take a train to.
But you've seen our house. It's not very far to walk from downstairs to upstairs in our house.
So that means that the voice could carry easily through your house.
No,
it doesn't, though.
He already said he's... On his own, he's losing hearing. So, traveling.
I'd be on the computer upstairs. She's watching TV downstairs. What do you think we should have for dinner Friday?
And then you go,
I got no chance.
Then you go, I want some pizza. And then you guys
no
are good.
Chance.
Then you guys are good.
Yeah, we would be good if I could hear the question.
Can we go back to the actual issue at hand here?
Hold up. Before we do that, this hour, 97.3 The Fan is brought to you
Before you get mad at him for not doing that.
Exactly. The only thing that will shut me
Buffalo
up.
Buffalo Wild Wings is football. Head to your local Buffalo Wild Wings and try their new maple chipotle sauce with rich maple sweetness and a mild smoky chipotle heat, or for a bit of kick, check out the new Cajun sauce for a rich blend of spicy and tangy pepper sauce. Stop by your San Diego B-dubs or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings. Go.
Go. So the original question problem at hand is, I'm trying to get our show on track a little bit because we go a little bit long in segments. I opened it up with, I am equally as guilty as keeping
this
late.
No, no, you did not open it. You did not open
you're
it up.
You're a stenographer
like
in here at all times.
Hold up. Let me just say this real quick. Let
you don't have selective hearing. You just have a mind-altering way of telling stories.
Oh, my God.
You're just cutting and pasting is what you're doing.
You
let
are.
Let me say, it's not that either of us disagree that we need to be a little bit more on schedule. However, why wouldn't you bring that up at a time when maybe we weren't on schedule?
I meant to do it before the show, but we didn't have time to do it before
it's your
the
fault.
Show.
You forgot to bring it up during the show.
No, and we were busy working!
And then you waited till after it was executed perfectly to tell us, man, you guys got to get out on time.
Yeah, you messed that up. Look,
I'm sorry.
It's kind of like
good thought, bad timing.
If you had a child that was in school, and they came to you and they said, hey, Dad, here's my homework. I just finished it. And you looked at it and said, oh, you finished your homework. You know, you got to start doing your homework more.
It's a positive reinforcement. It's a positive reinforcement. No, that, no, hey, look what happens. I am happy when you do your homework.
No, but you didn't say that. You just said, you know, you really got to start doing your homework more. And he just did it.
And he's probably, he or she is probably.
That's what happened here.
Like, Dad, I just did my homework.
That's
what
happened
about?
Here.
So, there you go.
Scrabby got issues. And
let's talk about the Lakers now.
Okay.
Okay, we're on time, so it's okay.
We got a couple minutes left.
Lakers get their opening season win. They had lost, I believe, six straight.
Oh, had they?
Openers. Last night was a little different. Obviously, the win was kind of set aside for some folks.
For
terms
a lot of people, yeah.
The history that was made.
But
Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. in the building to witness first time ever father-son in the NBA have been on the floor at the same time, even if it was only for 3 minutes.
And if I'm not mistaken, Bronny's first shot attempt came off of a pass from his dad.
As per usual, LeBron James got somebody a good look.
And it was a pretty good wide open look, but he missed it.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't see the second shot he took, but he was officially 0 for 2 on the field goals. And,
I think he missed a putback.
Yeah. But you know what? Look, he got his feet wet. It was a smart move by J.J. Redick to get it done in the first half of the first game. And now if he really wants to bring him in, he can just bring him in from now on. But at least he's not going to be asked about it for the next month and a half. When's he coming in? When's he going to play? He played.
I thought they handled that perfectly.
It was good.
J.J. Redick in really his first big test in his head coaching career. How is he going to handle this kind of storm? I thought he did a great job. I like the fact that, Bronny didn't play three minutes.
That's all he got, too. He didn't see the light of day after that.
I think if there would have been a blowout, but the game got close.
It was close enough that they couldn't quite go to him at the end.
I also, as a Laker fan, enjoyed what I saw from the team. I was listening to him talk. They had, I think they got up something around 8 or 9 threes.
The Lakers?
In the first half. Might have been the first quarter. I can't remember what it was, but that's kind of what they want to get to. I think it was 18 threes in the first half.
The Lakers went shot 18
shot
threes?
18.
No, they didn't make any of them.
No, they didn't make any of them.
I mean, they won a basketball game last night going 5 for 30 on threes. I can tell you, there's not a lot of NBA teams that are going to win games with those statistics.
So
that was impressive that they were able to still win despite that.
They defended, and they played the T-Wolves, by the way, who were
a team
that's a really good team.
Yeah,
and
they
so,
are.
I was very happy to see Anthony Davis get off to a good start.
He dominated the game at both ends. And if you don't think, he had 36 and 16, but that doesn't tell the whole story. At the other end of the store, at the other end of the floor, he basically rendered Julius Randle invisible. Randall's statistics look good, but he had no impact on the game.
He did. He got a lot of his stuff late, too.
Yes, he did. Davis was great.
Davis was also, I think, motivated. The defensive player of the year was in the building.
He thought
he should have won it last year. And he looked like a guy who was playing with that type of chip on his shoulder. So,
good point. I think the Lakers have a really good starting five, Tony, and I think they're going to win their share. But their bench concerns me. And, we'll have to see how they develop. But
they got three guys injured right now. Vanderbilt's hurt right now. I know he's a big piece off that bench.
Okay.
I can't remember who the other two guys are.
Is Reddish hurt? or is he just not playing?
He's just not playing yet.
Yeah, Kinect made his debut.
Kinect looked good.
Did all right. Hit 2 out of 4. But, you know, Gabe Vincent's a pretty good little player that was with Miami a couple years ago. But they don't have a great bench. And, they need their bench because their players are older. Yeah. So they got to sit them out as the season goes along. So
we'll see how that goes.
See how it works. But it was a good win.
The other I actually happened to be listening to this interview live when it happened. Brian Cashman was on with Mad Dog. I believe it was.
Oh,
right?
Yesterday.
And it caught my ear when he said it. At first, I had to kind of like put it together because he said it. Brian Cashman said it so casually. He was asked by Chris Russo about the kind of drought that they've had in terms of World Series and World Series appearance.
Right.
And he said, he's like, you know, I hate when it's framed in a way of a drought because people often forget that we were cheated out of, and my ears perked up immediately. I started running back. I was like, oh, they did run into the Astros quite a few times.
2017, they played them.
It was clearly still on. I mean, Brian Cashman didn't have to think about this answer at all. It was like on the tip of his tongue. And I just thought it was interesting that he still seemed to be quite salty. You have the sound scrape?
Yes.
Let's play it.
Here it is.
Give me your thoughts here. Finally getting back and winning a pennant after a 15-year. I don't want to say drought. That's not fair. But you understand what I'm saying with the gap. How about winning the pennant? How does that mean to you? Let me hear.
It means a lot. And I hate the 15-year thing because it doesn't it completely forgets and discounts that that some other organization cheated us when we were away in the end. You know, if you knew what was going on, I don't think they would be advancing at that during that time thing. I think we would have been advancing. So. I hate that 15-year thing because I don't think it accurately reflects history.
Wow. That's pretty hardcore.
It was funny because I just happened to have – I very rarely am listening to XM, MLB XM on series. And when he said that, I was like, huh, maybe – I wish I had like a link to send this to Scraby right now, but – as it turned out, it came up the next day.
Yeah, he was on it. It was shots fired for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, the Astros wish this whole thing would go away. But we are now basically, what, 4 years removed from this all being discovered? And it's still on most people's minds. Altuve still gets booed whenever he comes up to the plate.
They all still get booed when they come up to the plate, even the ones in different uniforms.
You're right.
It's had that kind of impact.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to break. When we return, Dylan Hernandez, LA Times columnist, will join us to talk about the legacy of Fernando Valenzuela.
Welcome back to the show. I thought it was Tony's turn.
Kristen and Tony and I were just sitting there waiting.
I thought how long were you guys going to wait? Like the whole segment?
I think we were willing to wait.
Were you
going to
play that music for 40 minutes straight?
I think we were willing to wait.
Well, I finally figured it out. 2:37 is the time. It is Chris. It is Tony. It is Scraby. Don't forget after the show today, Chronicles coming up.
Real quick, what was your gripe last night?
What'd you have?
Said you were. Was that,
oh,
was
it
that
was given to me by a listener. Which? Oh my goodness.
We had a good one before the show started too. But tell me about this one.
The listener stepped in dog feces in their yard.
Oh.
And then tracked it inside and didn't know that they had the poop on the bottom of the shoe. Didn't notice.
The smell didn't alert them?
I think it was like stepped in it, kept walking, walked through the garage indoors, and there you go.
You'd have to feel the squish.
I don't know.
You don't think?
Yeah, but no, it definitely changes the way your foot lands when you got some.
Yes, there's a squish
the
there.
It does, but I've got to notice
the
blame
squish.
Him for someone leaving.
Yeah, no,
a dog
I'm not blaming him. I'm
yard.
Just saying, you know.
Well, I'm blaming him a little bit. Blaming him a little bit. I mean, you got to notice the squish.
So I go.
If
on
you don't
this...
notice the squish and you take it into your own house, you can't blame the dog for that.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you
no,
can.
You no. Can, no, you can't blame the dog. You blame the owner.
Yeah,
the owner. Because I. There is a problem in our neighborhood right now, and it's not the neighborhood pooper where they were leaving dog poop in my yard. That has stopped. I think those people moved away or something.
Okay.
But there has been an issue with people not cleaning up after their dogs, and so there were signs that went up on the walk route, and then the signs were taken down the next day, then they were back up. So there's some sort of battle happening in the neighborhood.
Why can't you just pick up your dog poop?
Exactly.
Hey,
I don't know.
With the signs?
But you guess what I did today? Stepped in dog poop.
Do you feel the squish?
So this came
I felt
from,
the squish.
This came
there you
from
go.
The
original the Daily Grab came from the chat.
Came from chat.
But there was more to the story. Like, people It is not hard. If you are walking your dog and it poops,
here comes the preacher.
Pick it up. Like, who's walking down the sidewalk? Their dog goes to the bathroom and is like, oh, it's cool. I'm just going to leave it right here in the middle of the sidewalk.
Unfortunately, a lot of people.
I can't get in that mindset. And there are people out there because someone told me one time, oh, it's not my fault. It's public property. No, it's not.
That's a good, great answer.
It's not public property. Still, clean up after your dog.
Tony, you honestly don't mean that it's a great answer, do you?
No, I don't. Okay. I'm being, that's an acceptable answer. Okay, I get it. I'm being sarcastic.
All right, fair enough.
He said it was like a Wendy's Frosty, Nate did.
Hey, if you step in that, you got to feel the squish.
Yeah, come on, dog.
He said it was a step and then three into the garage and
gotta
then found
feel
out.
The squish. On a Wendy's Frosty, is that what he said?
It looked like that.
You step in that, you
I didn't
know. You gotta be more self-aware.
I didn't know I stepped in it this morning until I walked a few steps, and then my foot was like slipping.
Everybody stepped in this in their life once, at least.
It's infuriating.
And I'd say 99.5 have noticed the squish.
Oh, it's infuriating.
I'm not gonna blame Nate for this.
I'm not.
I know if this happens to Tony Gwynn Jr., there is one thing I know he hates more than anything else, and that is getting the shoe itself clean again.
Yes.
Oh, I have my.
He
dog
would hate.
Shoes,
you could never
so.
Throw a shoe away, could you, Tony?
No.
On something
no,
like that.
I mean,
because usually when you step on it, it gets dog the word poop, squish. Certain, it gets into every crevice of that shoe.
Certain dog poop can completely take out a
yes
shoe.
Yes, it can.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it can.
Oh God. You don't have like dog walking shoes, guys? I have dog walking shoes.
What are those? What are those?
I don't care if they get trashed or if I step in dog poop. They always stay outside. It's,
oh, my goodness.
I don't have any shoes that just stay outside.
Dog walking
shoes. You have
shoes.
Like 100 pairs of shoes.
And none of them stay outside.
You are you're a special guy. It's a star. All right. Dylan Hernandez. Well, should we get to that? Or we'll get to Scraby's other complaints later.
No, there's no more complaints.
We'll spread them out throughout the show.
We had a good one about this Interstate 15 right here that we get on.
Yeah, we'll get on that one in a little while. I don't want to overwhelm people with this.
It would be over.
Fernando Valenzuela's passing going to be felt. And Dylan Hernandez was nice enough, the columnist from the LA Times, to help us try to put it all in perspective. Here is that visit. And indeed, we are joined by LA Times columnist Dylan Hernandez, often kind enough to come on and join us to talk some baseball. And, you know, got the World Series coming up, and the Dodgers just beat the Padres. But I think, Dylan, today, it's kind of with heavy hearts we have you on. I mean, the passing of Fernando Valenzuela, you know, he's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. But I think he would be a charter member if there was a Hall of Fame for players that have had impact on, you know, a community, on a country, on a whole group of people. I don't think anybody ever impacted the way Fernando did.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you really have to kind of think, too, you know, kind of hard to tell now, but, you know, for a long time there was a lot of distrust between the Latino community and the Dodgers, right? Because, you know, Chavez Ravine obviously famously was once a Mexican-American neighborhood that got taken over because of eminent domain. I think it was supposed to become like a housing project there or something, and you know, eventually that's where Dodger Stadium sat. So, you know, for decades, you know, the Dodgers were not viewed in the most favorable of lights in, you know, this city that was becoming more and more Mexican with every passing year. And Valenzuela just kind of single-handedly changed that, you know, because, you know, sometimes you have those special athletes, I think, who, you know, kind of can transcend all that, right, and get people kind of involved. And also just, you know, sociology, right, from a society standpoint, you know, there was a time, again, of a lot of immigration and stuff, and there were a lot of discussions about that. And, you know, I think from, you know, it gave a lot of Latino people a sense of kind of belonging here, right? They were proud, right? There was somebody out there in the community doing something at a very, very visible level that they could be very proud of, you know. And I've always kind of said, you know, that the children of Fernando's fans became Oscar De La Hoya fans, you know, and, right? Those are a lot of the people now that are out at the ballpark, and, you know, probably Fernando's fans' grandchildren are now the core Dodger base. So, yeah, you know, and you go out there now, I think the Dodgers say that 40 to 50% of their fan base is now Latino, you know, and, yeah, so it's just been kind of a massive thing. And, you know, really, which just kind of struck me, you know, I was 1 year old, you know, year old when Fernando Mania was happening. But I just kind of think about the unassuming you know, man in the press box, right? You never would have guessed that he was such a big deal the way he kind of carried himself. And, you know, every now and then I had to remind myself, like, dude, this guy, like, changed the world.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I often would have to kind of have the same thought to myself as I walked by him in the booth. As he was, you know, doing, you know, the broadcasting side of things. And obviously, Fernando had gotten sick here in the last couple of months and took some time away. And you kind of hit on it, Dylan. I mean, Fernando Mania had lasting power. It wasn't just that segment of time. It seemed like when Fernando walked through that stadium, it was almost as if Fernando Mania was still live and present, even today, it's felt like.
Yeah, and it's also not a thing that's just contained to Los Angeles, right? Because of, you know, how many Mexican and Mexican-American people are, right, here throughout, you know, not just California, but even throughout the country now. You know, I think if you kind of look at, like, the, you know, the big three of kind of Mexican sports, it's Hugo Sanchez, a soccer player, right, who had a lot of success in Real Madrid, Julio Cesar Chavez, the boxer, and Fernando, you know, and of the three, Fernando was the one that was kind of able to kind of cross over in the United States, right? And was kind of this symbol of like, hey, like we can still kind of be ourselves, yet still kind of find acceptance here, right? And if we kind of go about it the right way and stuff. And so I think from that standpoint, he has like a lot of meaning to like a lot of people. You know, I think, you know, you always kind of hear people talk about, hey, that guy looks like my uncle or something, you know, right? Except he was a star on a huge stage, you know, and you know, I do think at some level, right, you know, not to sound like too corny or anything, because I generally kind of don't like this stuff, but, right, like, I do think at some level, like, representation and stuff like that matters, right? To see somebody, you know, of your background that's successful. And you know what? And it's also been, I think, a good lesson to Major League Baseball, too, right? Because for the first time they saw, hey, you know what? If we actually kind of open our doors and make this sport more inclusive,
yeah,
the bigger it can be. I mean, you can draw a line, obviously, from here to Hideo Nomo to Shohei Ohtani now, right? I mean, you could talk about, you know, Chan Ho Park and now the great Korean players that are in Major League Baseball. And it really has helped, I think, you know, Major League Baseball become more of a global entity than it was before.
Dylan Hernandez, nice enough to join us here, talking about the passing of the legend Fernando Valenzuela. And, of course, Dylan, I'm certainly not in the Latino community. I grew up in Southern California in L.A., but Fernando was more wide-reaching than just the Latino community as well. I mean, I think everyone rooted for Fernando, and when he had that 1981 season, I don't think he had to be a Dodger fan. He brought baseball eyes to the sport. He took over the sport for at least that 1981 season and then beyond, because, you know, just the way he pitched, the way he, you know, went out there and did his thing. And, you know, he was more effective than just as in the Mexican community, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think what's kind of right, the other day I was down at Little Tokyo, you know, a Japanese TV station that asked me to go down there to talk to them about Ohtani and stuff. And so, you know, a couple of Japanese TV reporters, it's me, and a group of young Latino girls stop by, and they start screaming about Ohtani. One of them even kind of forced their way in front of the camera to talk about how great Ohtani was. And that's what great athletes do, right? They kind of bring everybody together. Because everybody, when you see greatness like that, everybody wants to be a part of it. Everybody can relate to it. And I think it's really important, especially in a city like Los Angeles, that's you know, geographically so vast, ethnically so kind of broken up, right, and fragmented. You know, the Dodgers have always kind of been, I think, or not always, but, you know, for a long time have been one of these places where, you know what, it's a place for everybody in the city to go to, right? And that's kind of part of this now. And again, now you have people of every possible background cheering for Ohtani, right? Just like they did for Valenzuela, you know, just like they did for Kershaw, you know, just like they did for Matt Kemp. And I think that's what special athletes do, right, is that they make everybody kind of get on board, on the same train, so to speak, when it kind of seems like we're all traveling different tracks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Dylan Hernandez joins us, LA Times columnist, and, you know, he's passed on at a time where the Dodgers are getting ready to face off against the Yankees. I think he pitched in that 81 series that year. I mean, It's kind of strange how baseball kind of connects these things in the way they do, and this is going to be highlighted even more because of Fernando's passing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty emotional at the stadium. You know, again, I'm guessing there are going to be people crying and stuff, right? It's going to be an interesting, just kind of the way the players kind of take it too. Like I said, he was a pretty unassuming guy, right? I'm not so sure how many of the players on the active roster actually knew him, or if they did know him, how well they knew him. But it's going to be, for sure, an emotional time in the stands for people.
Dylan, real quick before we let you go, I mean, you know, his 81 season, he wins the Rookie of the Year. He's a Cy Young Award winner. He pitched five shutouts in his first eight starts that year, and all eight were complete games. It was just an uncanny performance, and he went on to have the kind of career he had with the Dodgers. How should we categorize Fernando's, you know, as a ball player as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he burned, you know, very brightly and very quickly, right? I mean, he, you know, again, there was a very heavy workload that was placed on him early on. You know, that said, I think, you know, again, I wasn't around during those peak years, but the people that saw it tell me about how special it was. Somebody compared it, somebody spoke to today, kind of compared it to, like, Kim Lincecum, right? Which, right, every time he pitched, it was kind of must-see baseball type thing. And, you know, I do think now that because the way kind of pitching has evolved and stuff, I am wondering if kind of the criteria for kind of Hall of Fame pitching will change down the road, right? Because I'm not so sure you're going to see kind of that dominant ace going 10-plus years anymore. You know, and if those peaks have to be shorter for entry into the Hall of Fame, you know, I think even as a player you can argue it. And definitely from, again, an impact standpoint, right? I mean, I've always said this. If Bud Selig can be in the Hall of Fame, Fernando Valenzuela should definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
Well said, Dylan.
Yes,
well
sir.
Said for sure. Thanks so much for joining us on a tough day for everyone who follows the Dodgers and people around Major League Baseball. You've been always good to us. We appreciate that, and wish you a lot of fun in the World Series, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you for allowing me to talk about this. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Dylan.
Dylan Hernandez, always a top-notch and as classy as they come. You know, some interesting thoughts there, you know, not just about Fernando, but, you know, it's going to have a bit of an effect, you know, on Friday night. I mean, they're going to have to do something, and they are. Dodgers said they would. And baseball, I know, wants to honor Fernando. And there may not be a dry eye in the house before that game. And it's, you know, too bad to have this as a backdrop for the World Series. But, you know, 63 years old. I'm telling you, Tony, that's too young. And
him and my dad born the same year, 1960.
Oh, yeah. I did not make that connection. What do you think about the World Series, Tony? Are we ready to talk about it yet, or is it still,
I'm ready to talk
still
about
too
it.
Early?
What's that?
The World Series?
Yeah, who's playing?
Hilarious.
I think this would be a good World Series. I do. I think you know, as a baseball fan, you hope that both offenses come in like feeling good, swinging good, because that'll provide the type of World Series I think we all want to see. These guys have these top seller in uniforms. You probably got like the top three sellers in uniforms. All on the diamond facing one another.
You know what I think is going to happen is what almost always seems to happen on stuff like this. You've got Judge, you've got
the
Soto, you've
dominates.
Got Stanton on one side. You got Mookie, Freeman, and Otani on the other. It'll be like Tommy Edman type of guy that'll decide the series. Whoever has their Tommy Edman, I think, will win this World Series. You would think on paper the Dodgers do have an advantage because they have a deeper bullpen. The Yankees don't have... I don't think the Yankees have nine guys they can roll out there like the Dodgers have in the bullpen, but, you know.
And listen, I think the wild card for the Dodgers is, once again, Walker Buehler, I think. He's he gives them the extra starter advantage if he's right, if he's throwing the ball like he has the last couple times. It's been pretty good.
Yeah, and Yamamoto, if he's good again.
Yeah.
And
well, I was already counting him as, you know,
counting
Yamamoto
him as being good.
And Flaherty being
being okay. The Yankees will go Cole and they'll go Rodon. I don't know what else. Clark Schmidt. Yeah, I mean, they don't have anybody.
I think what's the lefty
Nestor
that does
Cortez.
All the weird stuff? Yeah, Nestor. I think he's trying to make his way back for it.
Yeah. It'll be fun for those guys.
Yeah,
for Dodger sure. fans are going to love this. Yankee fans are going to love this. No one else is going to
love this.
They're
the only ones that are going to love this.
Thanks again to Dylan Hernandez for giving us some great insight on the passing of Fernando Valenzuela. We've got Daily Gambit, and also in the 3 o'clock hour, Gwen and Chris FAQ. Scraby's going to try to embarrass us. Probably we'll end up turning the tables on him.
That's how it usually works.
Look at that eye roll.
Did everybody hear my eye roll?
We coming back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.